Ladies and gentlemen, buckle up for the sex. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast with your hosts, Salsa
and Jenna.
And we have special guest
Ferdinand Berkowitz. No.
I hate it when I forget my
this
name.
This is an exclusive right here, folks.
I'm Kelvin Hatley. I'm here for some reason.
Yes. Yeah. As you can probably tell, James is not with us. May he rest his soul.
No, God. Oh, God. What did you do to him?
Well, he's not here.
Yeah.
Right.
So what did you do to him?
I didn't do anything. He's got training
this
or some shit
fault,
like that.
This is your fault, Salsa.
Yeah.
If you hadn't been such a shitty coworker, you wouldn't have left to another job.
Yeah. God. It's true. He left the job that
this
he worked
is,
with, and then he left the podcast.
This is your fault.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So our new All host, Kelvin. by the way, I don't know if you know this, but you're the new permanent host. I hope your Tuesdays are free.
Surprise!
Okay. That's a surprise. I should... I can probably work some of that in.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Not really.
Alternating Tuesdays.
We're testing you now.
Okay.
As James's replacement. He doesn't know. Hopefully he doesn't listen to this podcast.
he's training in a bunker somewhere incommunicado.
Mm.
Wherever communicado is, that's where he is. So we are sans James. We have Kelvin here because Kelvin is awesome.
Thank you.
We have many things to discuss. Such as what we've been up to recently. So do you want to start with that, Jenna? I know you hate starting.
We should actually tell the listeners that we're not drinking anything specifically special tonight.
No, it's just random grab.
Fuck it, it's Halloween. We are recording on Halloween.
My child just got done with an epic meltdown.
Is she really done now?
We have gone in and had the talk with her about, you know.
It was such a beautiful meltdown, though.
Oh, my God.
Amongst the screaming and the tears, you would every once in a while get the, it's not fair.
Yeah. And then
my favorite... I'll give you candy if you let me out.
Oh my god! There was the bargaining.
She went through all five stages
absolutely.
Of grief and loss.
It was an amazing and it came in waves.
Yeah, it
would crash. You know, she would have that ebb where it was like she almost was just. We were just sitting there like, you are so close. You are so close. Just say I'm sorry, and this will be over.
And then
it would be this. I hate everything and I'm and the banging on the door. It was
I think my favorite was I never ever never ever ever never never ever never
I have lost the count of where like what I forgot what I was talking about. Yeah,
like yeah, like just, I'm not exaggerating. I cut that short for you, dear listener.
No,
it was incredible how many never evers were involved in that tantrum. Yeah.
So somewhere in the middle of all that, we just decided, fuck it, we're going to drink whatever we have on hand. Jenna is drinking the Two Tones Cider House.
Cider House, the blackberry hard cider.
Yeah, that we had in a cocktail a couple weeks ago.
Oh,
yeah, it's pretty good. Mm-hmm. Pretty good on its own, too.
Kelvin has a New Glarus Cherry Stout.
New Glarus Cherry Stout, and I'm enjoying it. I'm not normally...
Not normally
a huge
stout?
I'm a big stout person.
Okay.
I'm not normally a fruit in beer person.
Oh, okay.
But I just it sounded cool somehow.
So the apricot stout that I or the apricot ale that I have in the other room was probably right out.
That was probably my of the options you presented me, that was probably the one that made me go the least. But
yeah, it's the Fitker's apricot ale is I'm a huge fan of.
Sure,
it.
Sure.
Raiderly even likes that. That's how good it is.
Oh wow.
A non-beer drinker went, "Oh, yeah, it's
yeah, I generally if you're putting other non-beer flavors in beer, I like them to be pretty subtle."
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But
no, I understand.
Yep.
I have a beer from Duluth that I brought back from Duluth from Canal Park Brewing. It's called Foggy Jack Porter. And it does have kind of a smoky, almost like a peaty scotch.
Oh,
it's not a scotch ale.
Yeah.
Sure.
But it kind of has a little bit of a, just a, it tastes foggy and smoky.
Mm.
So.
Lovely.
Yeah, just smell it. You can kind of...
God, hate it when you make me smell your beer.
But you can kind of...
Oh.
It's got... It kind of has a foggy smell.
It'd be... I always wish there was some way you could make like beer, a really good beer or scotch like scented candle.
Oh,
I've seen scotch candles before. Yeah,
What I would really love to do is like get really, and I don't think there's any way to do this, but get like really high quality pipe tobacco, and not actually smoke it, but just like burn it in a dish as incense or something.
I mean,
they make colognes that are like pipe tobacco and leather. And,
oh my God.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, if you wear that cologne, I will do you.
Well, I'm not buying.
The listeners, not you guys. Sorry.
Yeah, no. Leather's a common scent note in men's cologne.
But I have seen pipe tobacco before, though.
Cool. Yes.
Not as common, but among a certain subset, obviously it works.
Wear that scent. Invite me over to your library. Yeah.
Wow.
You smell like an old guy in a smoking jacket in front of a fire.
Yeah.
We have discovered Jenna's.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
In a leather armchair. Yeah. That, you know.
Oh, my God. Oh.
With a huge. Hand-tooled leather book
We just found Jenna's
ancient lore
sweet spot. we've got tobacco smoke, leather, and musty book.
That is
I can picture that.
To be fair, musty book is also my smell. Like that. Oh, I love that smell.
Right.
But holy shit, Jenna is going to need a mop after this one. Not just a towel.
Nope. Nope. All right.
So, gentlemen, if you are looking to woo the fair Jenna.
Or ladies.
That's true.
Either way.
No, you are absolutely correct in calling me out on that one.
Nope.
Anyone, if you are looking to woo the fair Jenna, I would recommend stocking up on pipe tobacco, leather. That just got kinky.
I mean...
And old books.
We can discuss it.
Indeed.
All right.
So,
anyway.
Now that that's... So, we're drinking a grab bag is what we're saying.
Yeah.
What you been up to, Jenna?
Oh, my God. This weekend was full. It was...
Yeah, I'm going to have a lot to talk about. Fucking full.
Yeah. I'm going to try to condense it as much as I can. Friday night, I had two Halloween parties. I started my night at like 5:30, 6 o'clock, something like that. And I got home at 2 a.m., went to bed for a couple hours, got up and had people over at 9 a.m. to watch cartoons and drink mimosas. And we did that until about 2. And then I went to go see one of those horror festival shows. It's a dance show by Aaron Shepherd called After the Party.
Yep.
Oh, my God, yes. It was really good. I think Bryn, former guest, described it as Manic Pixie Dream Girl gone wrong. Oh, yeah. It was pretty fantastic.
Like a guy takes a crazy woman home and his life becomes crazy.
So like Manic Pixie Dream Girl, the trope. You know about the trope?
Right, yeah.
Only, you know, usually in that storyline, eventually they separate ways and the guy has become a better person for whatever. This is kind of the story of what happens if they don't part ways and the guy's not ready to let go and it's creepy. And yeah. I mean, she's a little crazy, but he's also a little crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's
crazy, and it's not mutually reinforcing crazy. It's antagonistic crazy.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a dance show, so there was some storytelling in between, just like little snippets, about a minute and a half, maybe two in between to help move the story along, and then these dance pieces, which, of course, were all incredible, like every single one of them, and some of them were just downright creepy. So yeah, did that. I got to see Chip while I was there.
Yay,
he was
Chip.
Standing behind a coffin, which is how I usually find my Canadians. So yeah,
Somehow this doesn't seem unusual for Chip in the slightest.
Like this is what is to be expected. So, yeah, Chip was there. And then I was supposed to go to two more Halloween parties that night, but I only went to one. And then I got up Sunday morning. I had a thing. What did I have Sunday morning? Shit.
You had a shit? This is good.
I mean, good start. It's good to pass. I don't remember what I did Sunday. I know it was another very full day. I know I went shopping with my brother. Oh my God. I can't remember what else I did. That sucks. Anyway. But yeah, it was one of those weekends that was packed, up until it wasn't. Like, just the weekend was done for me. Oh, I saw Improv a Go Go.
Oh,
no. So yeah, I pretty much went the entire fucking weekend.
Isn't that kind of an unusual feeling where you've got 27 things every minute that you're doing, and then all at once they just end?
Yep.
And you wake up one morning and you're just like, I don't know what to do.
Right.
Like
I
like consciously I want to just like lay here and enjoy that, but my brain is still in go mode, and so right. I don't know what to do.
Right.
It's a very unusual sensation.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's fairly common for me, but
fairly common for a lot of us.
But yeah, it's still one of those things. It just hits you every time. Also, I got a cold.
Yay, colds.
Oh, I do have one more story I want to talk about.
Okay, go ahead.
I microwaved an egg.
Well, it was still inside its shell.
No. Okay, so here's what happened. So I went to make ramen, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, some backstory for Kelvin.
Backstory for Kelvin. Those who may not have listened last week.
Yeah, last week we had a discussion about food on a budget.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So how to make food for less than a buck, basically.
Right.
So
I'm sick and I wanted soup and we had ramen and I was like, that's cool. I can microwave that shit. Oh, hey, what if I put an egg in there?
Yeah.
So I microwaved ramen with an egg in there. And it turned out fantastic. Like the ramen was perfect and the egg was fully cooked, which is a big deal for me. And it was hot and it was just the right amount of hot. And like, I put it down on the table and I go to poke at the egg and it exploded like into my face.
Mm-hmm.
Like if I had not been wearing glasses, I might be blind right now. Sure. Like it was,
you had a date like that once?
So many. It's all a blur at this point. So.
Was it like super hot yolk or something? Or?
Yeah, it was both the yolk, and it was the yolk was fully cooked, by the way.
Oh, cool.
Which is fantastic. I like fully cooked yolk. Mm. The whites being fully cooked is cooked.
My egg won't stay still on my plate. What's wrong with my egg?
Oh, God.
Hey, man, you want to eat me, man?
I hate runny whites. Like, that's just a...
Yeah, that's not a...
Yeah, no, whites should be cooked, yolks should be runny.
I like over medium is my preferred, where it's not all, like, the bright sunshine yellow. You got that kind of orangey, not white goo. It's still solid, but it's not... I love that. Anyway.
Makes for a really good sauce. Because when the eggs are like that, they're nice and creamy, and you get them in pasta.
Nice.
And they just turn into this yolky creaminess.
Yeah. I think the single greatest indication of whether or not you're a good cook is whether you can make decent over easy eggs. And I've never been able to make decent over easy eggs. They just turn up like, how do I put it? Like really incompetent scrambled eggs or something. Yeah. The yolks break.
This is what you do. Make sure you have enough oil in the pan so it doesn't stick.
Mm-hmm.
Low heat.
Okay.
Low heat and cover the pan.
Okay.
Because then what you're doing is you're steaming the top of the
top
egg.
Of it. Yep.
Yeah. That's how my mom makes omelets. Mm-hmm. I didn't think to apply it to just
to just eggs.
Regular boring eggs.
But, yeah. You know. No, and but that's the thing. Yep. A lot of people crank up the heat and they fry it as fast as possible, mm-hmm. and that's the wrong way. It make sure you've got enough oil in there so it doesn't stick to anything, and then low heat, let it steam. And then when the top is when you know it's perfect, because you can look, especially if you have a glass lid, just when the yolk starts to film over, because there's just a tiny layer of the white part on top of it, and when that white part starts to cook and become opaque, that's the perfect time, because you know the white is cooked and the yolk is still running.
Okay. That sounds good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Next week on Cooking with Salsa.
Indeed, yeah.
So anyway, I go to stab this egg, and I get egg, like, just exploded into my face. Like, it was one of those, oh my God, moments. Like,
So were you embarrassed? Because you had egg.
Because there was egg on my face. Oh my God. Yep.
Here's the thing. I'm not angry at the joke. I'm angry because the joke was so obvious that I didn't think of it.
I mean, I've already told this story.
That's sort of like with me and vilification. Sometimes it's like, oh God, someone's come up with that one.
Yeah, had to. Right.
And it turns out they didn't. I'm like,
it's
whoa.
It's so obvious, and I can't believe I missed it.
Yep. Oh. No, I was in fact building to that. So, well done, sir. Boom.
Did I snipe you? I sniped your joke.
I told this story yesterday and had that closing, so that's fine. I've already peed on it.
All right.
Gross.
Just took a turn.
There was literal egg on my face.
Awesome.
And it burned me a little bit too.
Oh
like,
no!
A little bit. Like I got some right along the hairline.
Well, hot egg is hot.
It's like a wet water is wet. What?
Well, I would imagine yolk is like
excessively hot,
a particularly heat retaining substance.
Yeah.
Well, and especially microwaved, because everything happens so unevenly. Like you get real super hot spots, and that was. Well,
and it's also viscous, so it stays in place. Mm-hmm. That's the other thing is water evaporates, but you know things that have a viscosity, they just sit there and cook you.
Yep. So yeah. So that was my egg experiment. So it was delicious.
That was my next question.
It was
actually,
in fact, delicious.
How did it taste?
It tasted wonderful.
Egg and Japanese type soups is generally pretty good.
Yeah, no, it was fantastic. I may try the experiment again and see if there's a way I can
just
keep
wearing
the egg.
A welding mask.
Yeah, right. to try to keep the egg from see if like somebody recommended poking it.
Mm-hmm.
With like a toothpick or something. Although, I mean, it was like I barely touched the damn thing and it exploded. Well, so,
I mean, you can't really do anything before cooking because it's just a gel at that point,
right?
So,
I don't know. Maybe if I left a toothpick in it, but then would that catch on fire in the microwave?
Like, no, I don't think it would catch on fire, but it wouldn't stay in place is really the problem. And besides, the egg would just kind of cook around it and seal around it, so it wouldn't help.
Then I have to eat the toothpick. Oh, God, that's awkward.
Good source of fiber, though. Keep you regular.
Yeah, but the splinters are kind of a bitch.
Don't even talk to me about that.
What would you know about swallow? Oh, never mind. but I might do it again because I'm dumb. When I told my daughter about it, she's like, would you stop making eggs in the microwave? Because I've done this before with eggs. Like, and had them explode in the microwave.
So I know there's like this weird technique for cooking food in a dishwasher.
What? I don't have a dishwasher. But
what?
I've heard of this.
No,
it's like
tell me about this.
Okay, we have already done cooking on a waffle iron. We have done cooking in a toaster and a coffee pot.
Yeah, I can see that.
Now we've got dishwasher.
I don't own a dishwasher, so I've never.
But
done
I
this.
Do, and now I want to know.
From what I understand, sorry, it's basically putting food in a very watertight plastic bag of some kind, and then you run the dishwashing cycle, and it's basically steam cooks what's ever.
Oh, Jesus Christ! Oh my God!
I have heard of this.
That sounds ridiculous.
I mean, so you
six,
can maybe, so
six scrumptious meals you can cook in the dishwasher.
Yes! Oh my God!
I was just figuring like hard-boiled eggs would be fairly easy to do.
I feel,
but
They would have to be hard-boiled.
But I would imagine just like steamed vegetables
what?
Of some kind.
What did you find?
The first sentence in this website is, the idea of cooking salmon in your dishwasher is a pretty well-known kitchen parlor trick. No, it's not!
What? What the fuck?
What are you fucking talking about?
Maybe in Alaska or Washington State, where there's a lot of salmon, maybe. I don't know.
I am intrigued, though.
Look, I don't recommend this as a general rule, but for science, need to do this.
Yeah. No, you know what? Tell Ridley you're making dinner next Tuesday. I'll come over. I will be a part of this experiment.
I was surprised no one. I've never heard of this.
I'm surprised.
I remember hearing it in like, I don't know, seeing it on I know some of these syndicated TV shows years ago of like, you know, Wacky America. You know, like here's.
Well, and I've seen like things for like how to cook on like in a pan on a like a car hood or.
Dishwasher lasagna Florentine.
What the shit?
Lasagna Florentine.
Yes.
Now that's a lot more advanced than.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. Perfect soft boiled eggs with creamy yolks.
Ta-da. In the dishwasher.
In the dishwasher.
Lovely.
This is
because it's like really hot water in a dishwasher.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
No, this is happening now. This is absolutely happening, and my wife now hates you, Kelvin.
Yeah, I'm going to be real quick to point out that I had nothing to do with this. You should do it, Sansa.
I just brought it up because I thought it was... maybe not common knowledge, but...
Yeah, no.
Reasonably, super uncommon knowledge.
Had you heard about the salmon in the dishwasher before?
No, I haven't heard about salmon.
Okay,
this website's a fucking liar.
Yeah. Damn you, website. But
beyond that, there's like a lemon salmon in here. I'm like, what the fuck?
I'm coming over steam, for lemon salmon next week.
Steam cooked fish, yeah.
Yeah?
No, a lot of this checks out. It's just, I know how to steam things not in the dishwasher.
Like a normal person.
like a human being would.
You know, like over a campfire or something.
But honestly, like this... So my wife watches a lot of bad TV when she's going to bed because she wants something that is... noisy that she doesn't have to pay attention to that she can fall asleep to.
Sure.
And so she tends to watch a lot of... She went through kind of like that House Hunter phase, of those house renovation shows. And for a while there, she was watching all of the cooking competition shows. And this reminds me of one... it's called Cutthroat Kitchen, where the contestants... at the beginning of the competition, are each given a sum of money, and then throughout the show, there are auctions, and they can auction off various things that they get to inflict upon their rivals, and the trade-off is the more money you spend. In these auctions, the better chance you have of winning, but your winnings are what is left.
Okay.
So if you're given 10,000 at the beginning and you spend 10,000 in these auctions,
you walk away
with nothing.
Yeah.
You know, you walk away with $0 because what is left from your starting amount, that's what you walk away with. If your strategy, on the other hand, is to not bid on anything and just really hope that your cooking is that good, you can walk away with the full amount.
Sure.
But they do various things in there. Like, they will make you do all of your cooking with, like, a propane torch or things like that. And this cooking with a dishwasher or cooking with a coffee maker kind of reminds me of that, of saying, you can't use a stove or an oven, you need to use... a dishwasher to do your cooking.
Yes.
Like, that's what this reminds me of.
Oh, my God. I want to see that now.
Like one of those bizarre-ass cooking competition shows. Right. You know, like, here are your ingredients.
Yeah.
Gummy worms.
I'm in.
Balut.
What?
What?
And
what's balut?
I'm sorry I brought this up. Balut is a fantastically it's a fantastically gross food. I just found out about this recently.
Excellent.
That is apparently eaten in the Philippines. It's essentially like chicken embryos.
Mm.
It's like the egg before it's hatched.
Oh, I've seen like duck.
Yeah. So it's
don't
like,
count your balut before it's
so hatched. it's like a chicken fetus.
Huh.
Yeah. You're supposed to eat the whole thing whole, bones, yeah. Proto beak, like the whole thing. Mouth?
Yeah. No. I've seen the duck one. Just yeah. like basically a few weeks before it hatches,
mm-hmm.
you cook it and then you eat it.
So
you crack open the shell, and there's this chicken or duck fetus that you just...
Okay. Pop.
Yeah, and apparently...
And then it's not murder, so, you know.
No, and apparently the bones are, at this point, soft enough that they're just crunchy. And, yeah. Huh.
I'm not... It's not on my short list of things to eat.
I'm curious now.
I'm curious. I'm honestly... Yeah. I am curious.
I mean, I'm pretty.
I've done some things.
I'm pretty not intimidated by weird food and things, right. But I don't know if I could do balut though.
No, this one I don't want to try it.
Yeah,
I do not want to.
Yeah,
But at the same time, that's kind of why I want to.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
we should see if we can get some for Die Laughing.
Oh shit!
No, but it is oh, legitimately. God,
that's like a $50 challenge.
I think people know me well enough to know when I see something that is legitimately makes me uncomfortable. That's what I want to address head on.
Right.
You know. So. Oh well. Anything else, Jenna, or is your week pretty well?
I'm sure I have other things, but hell if I can remember what they are.
All right. I will try to get through mine
fairly remember, quickly. I kept mine fairly concise.
Yeah, I am also going to try to keep this...
And we went on the giant dishwasher cooking tangent.
Which we will talk.
That's acceptable.
We're going to talk.
No, yes. That's good.
The first thing I think I want to talk about is the event that I did.
Yes.
So I was hired to do the sideshow at a Puzzle Room event. This was put on by the Braden Masonic Lodge in Northeast Minneapolis.
Cool.
And this is something I've been doing for a number of years now. This is a fundraising event that they do to kind of raise a little bit of money for what they're doing, you know, in order to do what they do for the community. And in past years, they've done a single puzzle room, but this year they decided to do three. And the guy putting these together was a devious fucker.
Excellent.
No, these I had the opportunity to do a couple of the puzzle rooms, and goddamn, I had a shit ton of fun.
Nice.
I will talk about the whole event, and then I'll start talking about the puzzle rooms a little bit more. So the whole thing is that we had these puzzle rooms, and then there was a tarot reader, and then there was kind of some games, and then they had the bomb diffusing puzzle game, video game.
Are you familiar
with that one?
Yes, the VR.
Yeah. So there's shit. One person sitting.
What is the name of that? That's going to drive me insane right now. It's four words.
Don't.
Stop or something.
Yeah. So anyway. So the game is there's one person sitting at a computer terminal, and they have the bomb in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
The other players are sitting so they cannot see the screen, and they have the bomb defusing handbook.
Okay.
And what the player with the screen has to do is describe to them what he sees, and then they need to communicate what is going on. You know, the people will be like... You know, so they'll be like, okay, so I see five wires and they run vertical.
Oh, we were way off.
What?
Keep talking and no one explodes.
Yes, that's it.
Yep.
So you'll be like, okay, so I see five wires and they're running vertically. And then the person will flip through their handbook and then they go, okay, is there a serial number somewhere on the bomb? And you'll look at it and you go, oh, yes, there is a serial number. Is there... is there a letter in the third position?
Right.
Yes, there is a letter in the third. Okay, so you need to cut if is the first wire red? No. Okay, so if the first wire is not red, you need to cut the third wire. Okay, you know, and so it's just it's complicated, and you need to communicate back and forth as to what exactly
it's a huge communication skills thing. You know, holy shit!
But a lot of fun, a lot of fun. I've played that one before.
And it's one of those games. Like there are certain games that I can play, and it's like cool and chill. And then there are some games that like that and Pandemic. Where my anxiety just starts creeping up. And so I can only do a couple of games at a time.
It's like Space Team for
me. See, Space Team is different for me some reason. It's a very similar premise, but there's something about Space Team that it's
so zen.
Like I'm able to shake it off better, I think.
But you do have a timer, so you need to go quickly. But also if you do something wrong, it also explodes.
Kaboom,
So, and then
just like life.
Indeed. And then there was the sideshow, which was me.
You.
And literally, that's what it was. It was me. There was, we were going to have a band play, and there was an escape artist possibly that was going to be showing up. But because last weekend got canceled due to, they didn't have a lot of sales this year for some reason.
Okay.
And the guy in charge, was he kind of thinks it's because puzzle rooms are kind of, they're oversaturated at this point. The popularity of them was huge a few years ago, and that wave is starting to go away. And now there's like two or three different puzzle rooms in the Twin Cities now, so that's kind of become a little less of a unique thing. And so he's wondering if they're even going to do it next year because of that. Because of that, it was canceled last weekend, and so that's we lost the band and also the escape artist. So it was just me. So I performed between the puzzle rooms and had a lot of fun. Actually, you know, had good reception.
Excellent.
And in the games area, there's a game that I have never seen before, and I must have.
Oh, really?
It's a game, and I'm going to mispronounce this probably, but it's called Crokinole.
I'm not going to correct you. I don't know.
And what it is it's kind of a cross between shuffleboard and bocce.
Is it like on a table?
Table?
Yeah, they have one of those at Dunord.
Do they?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like, it's about 2 feet across, and you flip.
No, this is longer.
Oh, no, okay. So this is a round board.
Okay.
It's a circle, okay?
Okay.
And there are concentric rings, okay? Mm. So you've got these little wooden pucks.
Okay.
They're about an inch, maybe a little bit bigger in diameter. And what you do is there's the inner ring, and then there's a middle ring, and then an outer ring. And the outer ring is divided into quadrants.
Okay.
And that quadrant is each person's starting position.
Sure.
So this can be a two-person or a four-person game.
And so is it like King of the Mountain, only with the middle space and the...
I don't know.
Like, oh, you don't know King of the... where you're trying to be the one at the top, and so you have to push other people off the hill?
Kind of.
Yeah.
There's a hole in the very, very center, just big enough for one puck to go in. And if you shoot the puck in that hole, it's kind of like darts in that respect. If it goes in that hole, it's 20 points. And
I'd say like golf, but sure.
Fair enough. But if it goes in the hole,
dart golf,
then you remove it from the board, it's 20 points no matter what.
No matter what. You're
However, if none of your opponent's discs are on the board, you have to end your movement in the inner circle.
Okay.
If an opponent's puck is on the board, you have to touch one of their pucks. Otherwise, the puck you just shot is removed from the board.
What? What if you remove their puck from it? Like, you just whack...
You can shoot their puck off the board.
Okay.
But you have touched their puck, and therefore play is legal.
Cool.
The ring...
So it doesn't have to remain touching.
No. Okay, no. Cool. It just at some point needs to make contact. The inner ring, by the way, is surrounded by 8 pegs.
Oh, God.
So those are obstacles now.
Yes.
Okay, so gameplay goes, the first person shoots, they have to get it within that inner ring. Mm-hmm. Second person shoots, they have to touch that puck.
Right.
Also while trying to get furthest, closest to the center.
Right.
Because the inner ring, the center hole is 20 points, the inner ring is 15, the middle ring is 10, and the outer ring is 5. If a puck is touching a line, it's the lower point value. And then at the end of the round, you find the difference. And that difference is which team gets that many points, and you play to 100.
Okay.
But it's so goddamn fun.
Right, I believe you.
And what you do, the way you shoot these pegs is they have to be starting touching the outer line.
Sure.
And you flick them with your index finger. Like, not like when you flick it with your thumb so it's got that snap, but you just put your finger down on the board and you push it forward.
Dimly remember something very vaguely like that from the 70s.
Yeah, but it's
it sounds like a 70s
ridiculously because it does have those elements of bocce where you have to make contact with your opponent's disc, but you also want to make sure that your disc ends up closest to the center as possible. So you're trying to bank your shot so it knocks theirs out to a lower ring while ricocheting yours into an inner ring. And if they've got a disc in the center, like right next to the hole,
you need to
make the shot.
So there's also a pool element to it.
Kind of, yeah. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it sounds like
ridiculously fun.
Very cool.
And most of the boards online that I found are somewhere in the 2 to 250 area.
Yeah.
So it's not impossible. Cheap. It's not cheap.
Yeah.
I did find some that were in the $100 area. Mm-hmm. And so I'm kind of hoping to get one of those for Christmas. I'm not going to lie. I've been working on my wife on that one. But, a lot of fun.
That's good because I'm not going
to. Trying to keep this short, and I know I've already talked more, but it was a lot of fun. Okay, so the puzzle rooms. Holy shit. This guy used the room amazingly.
Oh, yeah?
In one of the rooms, like I said, this is the Masonic Lodge, and so they had a wall kind of the lodge members who had passed away.
Okay.
Throughout the years.
Sure.
And it had, like, their name and the year that they died on it. And one of the, like, there was a lock, and the lock itself had three letters on it. And the solution was, you know, this other clue said, you know, basically, you know, had a riddle on it. And what you were supposed to do is you were supposed to find the person who had those initials. And the year that they died, that was the combination.
Right, to
the
sure. Light.
So he used the room really well. And some of these were, like one of the rooms... The very first puzzle you encountered was a math problem. And you solved the math problem, and the math problem gave you the combination to this chest. And you open the chest, and inside the chest is a black light.
Ooh.
And you're going through the rest of the room, and you get to the very end, and you finally open up this little lockbox, and there's these flat wooden boards... roughly 6 by 8 inches, and you plug in the black light, and they've got like writing all over them.
Oh my god!
Like that. It was like, oh,
this is yes, so cool.
Nice.
And have you seen these locks that are directional?
I can't picture what you mean.
What it is on the face. There's the center. So it's a round face, mm-hmm. and then there's a round slider on the front,
mm-hmm.
and what you do is the combination is going to be like up, down, up, left, right, or something like that. So you
have up, 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 down, down, left, right, left.
I know, right?
Right.
But what he had done gotten stickers that were the spade, the heart, the diamond, and the club.
Nice.
And he had put those on the four directions, and then this other puzzle. You opened up this box and there was a deck of cards with a riddle in there. And you had to like figure out the riddle to find the correct combination of cards.
Oh, yes.
So you knew what the combination used this slider lock was to get into that.
Yeah.
It was so good. I don't even know what else. There was one that used Braille. There was one that used Morse code. Like all sorts of. It was a lot of fun. I really, really legitimately had a great time. But so the first night, we had a couple of the groups, because there could be up to 8 people in each room.
Sure.
And there was a couple of rooms that only had 2 people. And if you've ever done a puzzle room, you know that the more people you have in there, A, the more fun, and B, the easier it is because you get to bounce ideas off of people and stuff like that. So on the first night, there was a couple of these groups that only had a couple people. And so I was like, I'm performing between rooms because the room is an hour and then there's a half hour break and then the room is for an hour. And so they're like, well, do you want to go in and A, have fun doing the puzzle, and B, just kind of flesh out the group a little bit, you know? And so I was like, yeah, absolutely. And so I did. So I ended up doing a couple of the rooms that first night. The second night I show up and our first room starts at 6 o'clock, and 6 o'clock rolls around, and the guy who is the guide / hint giver for one of the rooms isn't there.
Oh, God.
He had gotten held up somewhere. He was late. He wasn't there.
So obviously you grabbed the sword swallower.
And so that they were kind of like, does anybody has, and I kind of raised my hand. I was like, I did the room yesterday. I think I remember. I can bring him down there and try to give hints as best I can. And so I ended up like being the guide for one of the rooms. So yeah, that was fun. I sincerely had a great time. And
excellent.
And, I would absolutely, if they are doing this again next year, I would recommend doing it because it was a shit ton of fun.
Cool.
Very cool.
And the other thing is yesterday, my wife and I went to see Gogol Bordello.
Yes.
I am so jealous.
I know.
A friend of mine had a ticket and I was so sick. I was like,
I know someone else who also had a ticket and they were sick and couldn't go.
Yeah.
I didn't have a ticket. Somebody was just like, I caught them just as they posted it to Facebook. And I was like,
probably the same person.
Yeah. Son of a bitch.
Might be the same.
I don't think it was.
Yeah, it's possible. But anyway, my wife and I, we regularly got tickets months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she actually, just a few weeks ago, she sent me a message saying, hey, I printed off the tickets. And I was like, what are you talking about? Because I had already forgotten about it. She got them a long time ago. It was at First Ave. The stage where Prince performed, and so have I. It was funny because I performed on that stage, and Radley like looks at me and she goes, "I think I'm the only one of my friends who hasn't performed on that stage."
I haven't performed on that stage. I was just a groupie when a bunch of my friends did. Mm-hmm. So you know.
But yeah, it was a super good show. The opening band was a group called Lucky something.
You're gonna pause in your story.
No.
Talk about the band while you're looking it up.
So Lucky, but anyway, the way my wife put it is they are a band geek's wet dream.
Okay.
It was a trumpet player, a sousaphone player, a trombone player, a drummer, and a saxophone / bass clarinet player.
Okay.
And they, no vocals, they just rocked. They jammed.
Nice.
Like rock, classic rock pop style music on these 5 instruments and just rocked.
Nice.
You know, the greatest part was the guy with the sousaphone.
Yeah.
He was rocking the most. Like he was dancing and hopping around. Like they had one of those like slightly raised platforms right at the front of the stage between monitors where, you know, some where, you know, like a band, if they're singing to the audience, would kind of put their, you know, Captain Morgan, their foot up while they're singing or something like that. Nice. He was jumping up on that and like jumping off of it and just going crazy. Big fucking sousaphone.
Yeah, I think tuba attracts some more theatrical personality in a way, just because it's so huge, you know.
Raterly and I were honestly astonished that the trombone player hadn't mashed his slide into the floor.
Oh god,
because he was swinging that thing everywhere. Mm-hmm. But
or knock somebody over and just like clothesline somebody.
But yeah, Lucky Chops, that's what it was. I recommend looking them up. They were a lot of fun. They legitimately were.
Cool.
And then Gogol Bordello had them out for a couple songs.
Nice.
And Gogol Bordello, goddamn.
Fucking good.
That was a show. They, like, I don't even, they were going apeshit. They have a very... I knew that they did, but I actually looked it up later. Their diversity in their band is so cool.
Oh, yeah.
Like, their lead vocalist is...
Was that your first time seeing them?
It is my first time. Okay. Live, yes.
Yeah.
Their lead singer is born and raised in the Ukraine.
Yep.
He's a quarter Rom.
Mm-hmm.
Their guitarist and their...
For a second, it sounded like you said quarter Rom, and I'm like, oh, depending on the day.
No, Romani. Rom.
Yeah,
I misheard that myself. Yeah, too.
Quarter rum.
He drinks a lot of rum before.
Him. Yes, I heard rum. I knew it was rum, and then I went, sounds really like rum. I mean,
he drank on stage. Don't get me wrong. But, the guitarist and the violin player were both Russian. The accordion player was from Belarus. The drummer and the backup vocalist, she and he were both Americans. The percussionist / MC is from Ecuador.
Yeah.
And their bassist is from Ethiopia. So they've got just this whole global group singing about immigrant punk.
Nice.
So, like, immigrant punk, when they were singing that one, it was just like, holy shit, like, this song means a lot to a lot of them. And it was such a good time. And unfortunately, we had told our babysitter that we were going to be home around 11. And it was getting to be like 20 to 11. We're like, we should really leave now. We're parents. We know we can't stay to the end of the concert. And so we started to walk out. And just as we start to like head for the door, they start playing Undestructible. And we're like, okay, we have to stay. And Undestructible gets done. And we start to walk towards the door again, and Raterly goes, if they start playing Start Wearing Purple, I'm going to scream.
I knew it.
And they started playing Start Wearing Purple.
Yes!
And we're like, ah! So we had to go back and listen to that. But, like, dude threw a big fucking, like, marching band bass drum into the audience and then got on top of it.
What?
And so he's standing on top of a big fucking bass drum, crowd surfing while singing Indestructible. Holy shit.
That's pretty amazing.
My fucking God.
Oh my God, it was amazing. It was such a good concert, you guys.
Oh,
I had
some
such
bitch.
A great old time. And yeah.
And your babysitter was upset.
No, not. It was a friend of ours, and so we texted him. We were like, we're on our way, we promise.
You come back and she's got knives pulled out.
No, Kyle was extremely understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the big ones that I really wanted to mention.
To make sure. To
yeah, that sounds like big things to mention. Yeah.
No, it was serious. Should we take a break?
Yeah, let's.
Yeah,
take a
break. I need to urinate. So yes.
Okay.
Oh, all good. Right. Well, we will urinate.
We will do
we
that.
We will take care of the break time things.
We will be right back.
Do do do. Hey everybody, you should like us on Facebook, Apropos of Nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for Apropos of Nothing.
Could be disgusting.
Welcome back.
Oh,
this is Salsa.
I'm Jenna.
And I'm Lester Q. Barkworthy.
which is an anagram for Kelvin Hatley.
Yay!
Don't I think fact check me on that.
Too many letters.
Don't fact check me on that.
Never mind. I wasn't paying attention.
There is a Q in my name somewhere. No, there is not.
It's a silent Q, yes.
It's a silent and invisible Q.
So anyway, this is the portion of the show where we get our let our guests talk about themselves a little bit.
So, oh, yeah.
Good. Well, we should probably do that.
Hey, so yeah, Kelvin, what have you been up to or what are you going to be doing? How do we know you? Tell us about yourself.
How do you know me? I've been around.
I had a date like that
once. I've seen some shit, man.
I've been in vilification tennis for like, I think 3 years now.
That show.
I heard of that show.
3 or 4 years. And member of Fearless Comedy. I've done...
I've heard of that company.
Acting and improv in the local areas. I'm currently in the cast of Are What the Improv, which performs at Honey... fourth Thursday of every month.
Yeah.
I will be in... Oh, dear. I'm forgetting the name of it exactly.
The one we were just talking
about. I forgot the formal umbrella name of the show. But it's going to be at the Phoenix.
The Phoenix.
This Friday?
Yep, this Friday. I hope so.
At 10:30.
This is the most lead interview I have ever.
I know I'm terrible that way, but essentially, I don't know if you're at all familiar with something called Turkish Star Trek. Yes. That was an interesting expression.
That was
also
the best. I would say I'm confused. I'm intrigued. Go on, but should you really?
Okay, well,
what was that look?
Turkish genre movies. In the 70s, basically ignored anything that looked like copyright.
Okay.
And, like, there's a movie, I think the formal title of it is, like, called, like, The Man Who Saved the World or The Man Who Saved the Universe or something like that. But it's basically informally referred to as Turkish Star Wars because the special effects are flat out ripped off from Star Wars.
Okay.
Where
the camera shakes and everybody grabs something and rocks back and forth.
Well, no, like they actually just plain rip off footage of like X-wing fighters and things.
Oh, okay.
And just stick it in the film. Yeah.
Yeah.
Turkish Star Trek was like a weird movie that basically is like 3 episodes of the original series of Star Trek, kind of haphazardly welded together into a Turkish film. So there's a Turkish guy playing Spock and a Turkish guy playing Kirk and
okay.
And so on and so forth. And I am going to be, this is going to be playing in the background and we're going to be providing like English dialogue for it.
Oh, so you're kind of sort of translating sort of MST3K-ing?
I think so.
Okay. This is the premiere of this particular.
Yeah, we'll be given a script, which I think is going to be, you know, the approximate dialogue of the Star Trek episodes that they're clearly ripping off.
Okay.
And we're going to kind of be filling that in as much as we can.
So it's not improvised like Killer Bees.
It's not like Killer Bees, no.
Okay.
But there will be some possible
improvisation. I think so.
Because
there's going to be like weird.
It's still comedy, but it's going to be scripted.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'll be playing the part of Turkish Mr. Spock. So... it's like, this is the closest I'll ever come to playing Mr. Spock, so I better, you know.
I'm also going to be in this one, and I would rather not say what character I'll be playing. Ooh. You'll just need to show up and find out. But it's going to be awesome.
Yep, I'll be doing that, and I'm doing a lot of Star Trek acting because I'm also in a Klingon Christmas Carol again this year.
That is coming up, yes.
That will be in December, and this year I'm playing... Kachit and Veshewik, which are the equivalents
Gesundheit?
Of yeah, the equivalents of Bob Cratchit and Fezziwig.
Okay,
I'll be playing those parts, and which means I gotta get on to learning my lines because I basically have to learn them phonetically because it's in Klingon.
Right.
So
there's super titles projected on the stage.
Okay,
of like the actual
I was just about to say,
Klingon
Christmas Carol has been going on for a long time, and I, to my detriment, have never been.
Yeah.
So all of the dialogue is in Klingon, and then there's just a screen.
There is a narrator who is a Vulcan who is speaking in English.
Oh, okay, okay.
I was in it last year, and I actually played Scooja last year, which is Scrooge. Scooja.
Which I remember was super awesome.
Yeah. But yeah, I stepped back from that a little bit, and I'm playing, you know, the equivalents of Bob Cratchit and Fezziwig, like I said.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Lana Rosario is playing Scooja this year. We're having a gender having a gender swap.
Oh. Oh my god! I just wet myself.
And we had to change the dialogue a little bit, we had to change Lode, which is like boy, to Beh, which is girl. That's nice. Like the one tiny thing I can remember off the top of my head.
But yeah.
For some, it wouldn't be so tiny, but.
Yeah. So, and we also have someone who's non-binary in the cast.
Hmm. Very cool.
And you have to find a Klingon pronoun.
Yeah. Klingon doesn't have gendered pronouns. But they also don't have things like a generic word for like aunt or uncle. All they have is like brother's brother or sister's brother or brother's sister or something like that, which is awkward. But
shit just got nerdy, yo.
No, it got extremely nerdy, and
the Klingon language is. I can discuss the Klingon language for a while.
Thing is part of me is going. You know, this is all made up. You can just. Make
it's
shit.
It's an actual language, though.
No, but I'm saying is a part of me is going. You could literally just go. I'm going to say gah, and that now is the gendered pronoun for whatever the fuck you want it to be.
Nobody
will know except the fact that somebody in that audience will know.
Yeah, we get a super nerdy audience,
and that's the thing. Like,
that shows up in Klingon cosplay.
Two minds of this. Like part of the overriding one is, you know, don't yuck anyone else's yum.
Yeah.
Because that's a douchey thing to do, and I try not to do that anymore. But the other part of me is going, just make shit up. Like,
yeah.
Look, who's gonna know?
Doing a specialty act, though. If you're
a lot of it's just getting the Klingon-y sounds right,
yeah.
Because a lot of them, it's a lot of sounds that don't really exist in European languages.
Yeah. I mean, I can like stand in a corner and clear my throat.
Yeah. But
Salsa, if you're gonna do a fire show, don't use like Banaka or whatever that shit is. To fake a fire blast. You fucking do a fire blast, all
damn
right?
Straight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like
no, and like I said, that's the other part of it is the fact that I do appreciate the level of accuracy going into
this. It's the way the language is like it's very suffix oriented. It's vaguely similar to German.
Okay.
That way where like
that kind of makes sense.
Where they just kind of pile suffixes onto a word to make new words.
Mash them together.
One of my favorite little particles is cook, which basically translates as so called. It's like the sarcasm particle.
Why don't we have a sarcasm particle?
I know. So, dash is ship. Yadash would be your ship. Yadashkok would be like your so-called ship. Or, in another way, ooh, your ship.
Yes. I'm watching Salsa's expression right now.
I'm pronouncing it very Klingon-y, but it's basically cock.
Yeah.
K-O-K, you know.
Salsa. Salsa has just gained an appreciation.
Oh,
for the
James,
Klingon language.
Your story cock.
Your story cock.
I had a date like that once. I love a good story cock. I'm
you know, like you know,
it's a tall tale.
A disappointing homebrew meeting. Oh, nice beer cock.
cock. Cock.
You have such a well-behaved child, cock. I don't know. You can go on and on. But yeah, I'm really good at the weird sounds in Klingon, apparently. I can do the lateral T, which is really strange.
What's a lateral T?
It's like... It's basically press your tongue against your top teeth and then blow on either side of your tongue.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the
cool.
It's the TL sound that is in like Mesoamerican native languages. Like I don't know if you like Aztec gods like Quetzalcoatl and Tlaloc.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Shit just got history on me.
I know. It's
what
it's,
the fuck?
It's pretty crazy.
Man, and then there's like sci-fi convention and turned it into like actual learning. Yeah, I don't know how it has glottal stops.
Which isn't a thing in English.
Do one of those.
A glottal stop is what you do with your throat between saying and oh when you go uh-oh.
Mm-hmm.
That is actually a letter in some languages.
Yeah.
What? I don't understand.
It's basically you shut the vowel.
A Hawaiian language uses a lot of glottal stops too.
Okay.
When you say Hawaii.
I just say Hawaii.
Hawaii. Yeah, that.
Because Hawaii is H-A-W-A-I apostrophe I.
It's almost like an absence of a sound. You're just kind of shutting the vowel off really hard. Oh, okay. Yeah.
You can definitely spell it without the apostrophe, but in some spellings you will see an apostrophe between the two I's at the end of Hawaii, and that's pronounced Hawaii.
Neat. Teach me more about sounds. this is fascinating.
Let's see, there's like a regular K sound. There's a sound that's written as a capital letter Q, which is basically like a really hard K, almost. I've heard it called the coughing up a hairball sound.
Yeah.
And a GH, which is like a back of the throat kind of thing. what else? R's are done with a little flip, so it's like, I mean not like Spanish, but I don't know. Yeah, you kind of flip it a little.
Neat. Oh my god. I mean, last year I did the fight choreography for Klingon Christmas Carol. And what's fantastic about doing the fight choreo is that you don't know how to speak a goddamn bit of it.
Yeah.
And so this is fascinating to me because I spent all of my time with movement and weapons, right. And none of it with the language.
Yeah, I have no combat scenes this year, so I'm not called for any of the fight rehearsals, which
I'm not doing the fight.
I know.
You sound sad.
I kind of miss doing some. Degree of, because that's what you think of Klingons doing. You think of them beating each other up, yeah. And I'm mostly sitting there trying to like, come on, family, we're going to have good time tonight, and being sad about Tim Holm.
Oh, Tim.
Tiny Tim.
Yeah.
But I do.
Do they still have the same character playing Tiny Tim?
Yes. Jillian Chan is still.
Oh God, in the cast. She's fantastic.
Some of the same actors, a lot of new ones. A lot of people I don't know.
Cool.
I
mean, it's good to rotate through, get some fresh mm-hmm. blood. Klingons appreciate fresh blood.
Yep.
So.
Fresh blood wine.
Yeah.
I can't remember the name for blood wine.
Oh my god.
I know the word for Klingon. I know the word for blood is ew.
Ew?
Glottal stop IW. Yeah.
Ew.
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 Ew. And there's some weird puns in Klingon. Like, the word for victory is yay.
Yes. I approve wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
Awesome.
What are we going to do? Yay!
I say yay all the time.
Yeah. You're just saying victory in Klingon.
Yes. This pleases me greatly.
So, Salsa, Jenna tells me you have a fart cabinet.
I almost
segue.
I almost got a whiplash from that 180. I was about to talk about my villain salt that I wrote in Klingon.
Oh yeah.
But we can talk about the fart cabinet.
I do want to hear the Klingon Wilson.
This was years ago.
Yeah.
I wrote it for Convergence, and I don't even remember what it translated to, but it was basically something about your fat mom being... I think it was your fat mom is so fat she can plug a black hole. I don't remember. The only thing I remember is Lushbet Lachshondugach.
That sounds
that was the end. Yeah. That was and I did. I got online and I did research to like try to find like synonyms for the various words I was trying to, and the sentence structure.
The structure is very odd.
Because the structure is not the same as English.
Not
like,
at all.
I started like trying, and then they were like, nope, the like the subject is at the end and things.
It's
like,
it's object,
you,
subject.
You didn't
verb.
Just try Google Translate? I bet they have Klingon.
That would have been smart.
The syntax
translating is, insults are probably not.
The syntax is object, subject, verb. So you don't say, we're going to the planet. You say, to the planet we go.
Yes. Yeah, it's okay. Kind of the passive voice, which is odd for Klingons.
Well, I think the idea was that it's like to mimic what a goal-oriented culture they are, that they put the goal first in the sentence.
I see. But yeah, I did. I changed the sentence structure and I found all of the words and then I had a vil insult for Convergence 1 year that was in Klingon.
That's awesome.
And I
nerd.
I was pretty happy with it. It was the same show that I had one that was in sign language, which I was super happy about because we had Claire for that show.
Oh yeah.
And so, and she and I worked together on this one. I signed the insult, and then she stepped forward and translated into words.
Oh my god, yes.
It was so good.
There's not a whole lot of people who can translate into Klingon just off the top of your head.
No,
like
no,
but there's very few people.
Yeah, but she, like, she taught me how to sign. Like, I wrote a pretty basic, the insult itself was pretty basic, but it was something that I could learn how to sign quickly,
right.
and with no knowledge of sign language whatsoever. And so I stepped forward and I signed the insult, and then I did the and now
gesture
your turn
to
gesture
Claire.
To her, and she stepped forward, and she had been signing the whole show, and then she stepped forward and she said the insult. And it was such a great moment.
Yay!
There was one Vil show where I can't remember the theme, but it was like a thing where I think it was like a Halloween show and we were all in costume. And the only costume I could figure out how to put together on zero time and budget was a mime.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
So I'm wearing like a black mock turtleneck and black pants, and I got like white makeup and put it all over my face and stuff. And I did a mime insult of, like, miming a fat mom or something. I was quite proud of it.
Yes.
So the fart cupboard.
Yes, the fart cupboard.
is a
it's an AON.
Is something that is, I feel, going to be in every household in the coming years. every bathroom will have one. You will have your bathtub and shower. Mm-hmm. You will have a sink. You will have a toilet, and you will have a fart cupboard. And what the fart cupboard is, in a nutshell...
The fart cupboard.
Is of the fart cupboard, yes, I'm sorry.
You must be non-rotic with your with your accent.
Yes.
Fart cupboards fart are what cupboard. They have, what the poor people have. The fart cupboard, however. the fart cupboard will be next to the bidet. And what the fart cupboard is basically farting in front of... people is so crass and gauche, and you have you just leave this smell everywhere. And so what the fart cupboard is an aperture in the wall, and when you open the door, it starts a light suction. Okay,
it's not an airplane toilet.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. just to get some airflow. Yeah. And you press your buttocks against the aperture, and you let a jolly good one rip, and it sucks all of the stench away, safely away into a different part of the house.
Where the guests are staying.
And this is an optional attachment. Mm. A light spritz of potpourri.
Yes.
Upon closing the door. And then you enter the restroom. You open the fart cupboard. You fart. You close the fart cupboard. You walk out. And nobody is any the wiser that you have just let wind. Mm. Nor have you inflicted it upon
anyone
else.
That seems like a reasonable item to have.
And the next person that walks into the bathroom, no smell. Just, you know. I really think they're going to catch on.
Yeah.
Here's the prototype. The prototype fart cabinet's right here. We've been farting into this, and
that's an actual thing.
Eventually, legitimately, and I have determined that we have a laundry chute upstairs near the bedroom that I have. Decided that I am going to convert into a fart cupboard.
Don't tell Raiderly.
perhaps the fart cupboard be mic'd. might have an audio library of.
Yeah, you can.
So
sell
it plays music when you open it up.
No, I mean recording
it's a
you.
You open.
Da 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 da.
Kind of like that.
That way, not only can people not smell what you're dealing, but also don't hear it.
Oh, that's
I love it.
Well, I was thinking recording various people's farts for posterity, like
posterity. I got it.
You know, like you'll be able to match the person up with their fart.
Oh, that's a fun party game.
But that defeats the whole purpose of the fart cupboard is to remove the fart from society.
Hold on. If you record them, though, you can sell those recordings. Sound effects people are always looking for that.
Yeah. So you're taking the high culture approach. And I'm taking the low
said
culture.
Nobody about salsa ever.
oh
my God.
This makes me so happy.
Well, I did. This became a weird short.
This started weird. Let's be honest.
No, it became like a shorthand thing between me and Joshua Scrimshaw and Joseph Scrimshaw when we were doing shows together.
Name dropper.
Yeah, sorry. But
don't apologize.
We went on a thing of making up like superhero fart jokes.
Yes. Love it.
And I came up with one for the Flash, where basically the Flash would just, if he had to let one rip, he would just run
now
the other side.
That's crop dusting.
Yeah, he would just run to the other side of the planet, fart, and then like run back.
Right.
But I just figured that because he was a dick, he would always pick like the same, like the little shack of some Chinese peasant. And he'd always go to the same one and just fart in that guy's house and then leave.
That poor guy.
And then the Chinese guy would come out like shaking it, right? Like, Flash! God damn it! Like,
Flash!
And so, like, that became kind of a
Jesus
almost Christ. A meme for us was like the Flash fart joke. It was like some guy yelling in a bad Chinese accent about, like, damn it, Flash!
Yes.
Maybe you had to be there. I don't know.
No, I approve of this.
I am speechless at the sheer genius of it. I don't know where to go with that.
How does
it's already perfect.
How does Superman fart?
How?
Or does he? He's an alien, does he right? Does he fart?
Can he hurt somebody by farting?
I would think his farts would literally blow down buildings.
Oh my God.
He has super breath.
He does have super. I'm wondering, like, you know. I just.
Well, how do you think he flies?
It's like a rocket thruster. Okay, so does he need special fabric on his
on his underwear on the outside.
Well, if you
so
go
he
with
doesn't
the,
blast a hole through it when he farts.
Right. If you go with the pre-crisis Superman. I'm getting really nerdy here.
Keep going.
Superman's the old pre-crisis Superman. Superman's costume was supposedly knitted from his unraveled Kryptonian baby blankets that he came to Earth in the little rocket ship. So it's Kryptonian. His mother, Ma Kent.
Yeah.
Like they unraveled the threads and uh-huh. she like kind of re. Knitted together.
His suit is knit underwear.
So his suit is knit.
And his suit is a bad sweater.
And because it's Kryptonian fibers,
oh my god, it's my next Christmas
sweater. It's as invulnerable as he is.
Yeah.
So like someone could put on.
But it's not woven. It's knit.
Apparently. So apparently, like someone could put on Superman's costume and like bullets would bounce off them because the costume is as invulnerable as Superman.
Right, but it also means if you grab one tiny thread, you can unravel the whole thing.
Right.
Hot. What? Sorry. Even with a fart propelled Superman, I'm still turned on by the look of him.
Can Superman damage his own suit?
Ooh.
I know, right?
I do recall a situation where a Superman got possessed by some kind of magical force and started punching himself, and he was beating himself up, like getting bruised and bloody.
So Superman can bruise himself, so he would probably be able to rend his own garments.
Yes.
Okay.
Seems likely.
Huh.
How does Batman fart?
Like the night.
You do realize that suit... That is a bodysuit. When he farts, the only place that has to come out is the neck.
It could come out the butt cheek sides.
I mean, it depends on how the suit is made.
I mean, I don't know if the suit is airtight. I mean, I don't know if it, I mean, it, yeah. I assume it's like...
Well, if it's knit, probably
if it's
not.
Knit.
I mean, I've
somehow got, I don't think Batman's suit is knit.
Oh, not Batman.
Oh, no, sure.
Oh, we were talking about Batman.
You did switch to Batman. I thought you were stuck on Superman.
You said Batman.
I did say Batman, but you don't always come with me when I go somewhere.
Yeah, I went to Batman.
If Batman's farts would come out of his face mask.
Oh, Jesus.
He would smell everyone.
And it would be his way of intimidating thugs.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You guys.
He's like holding someone like over a ledge.
No, you guys.
Tell me what I need to know or I'll fart on you again.
Is this why Batman smells? Is this
why Robin laid an egg.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. The Batmobile lost a wheel.
And
the Joker got away because Batman farted in his suit, you guys.
Jingle bells, bitches.
I should.
Holidays, in the corner.
I never get tired of fart jokes. it's a horrible weakness of mine, but I just. I'll be having a shitty day and I'll just suddenly start making fart jokes to myself and start giggling and then I can get on with my day.
Excellent.
It's always been my method.
Delight. Kelvin, tell us where we can find you.
You can find me on Facebook. I'm also on Twitter at Kelvin_Hatley.
Where are your shows going to be?
My shows. Klingon Christmas Carol will be at the Mounds Theater in St. Paul. And
do you know when that's going to
open? I believe our opening night is December the 1st. I think that's a Friday.
Okay.
And I think it runs through the 23rd, which is...
not quite
Christmas. The Friday before Christmas?
2 days before Christmas. That's all we know.
Yeah.
Because Christmas is on a Monday this year. I think. Yeah. I could be wrong. But
well, then the 23rd would not be Friday. It would be Saturday.
Okay, Saturday. Yeah, Saturday.
That makes
sense. All right, duh. What am I? Math.
Math is hard.
I've been talking about farting, and my ability to do math has died.
What about this other show?
What the Improv is at Honey. Fourth Thursday of every month at 7:30.
7:30, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the Turkish Star Trek thing is this Friday,
10:30.
November the 3rd.
Yep.
And it's at the Phoenix on Hennepin.
At what time?
10:30?
I believe it's 10:30.
I think so, too.
Okay. Do you know what tickets
Maybe
are?
Maybe it's 10.
I believe it's actually free.
Ooh, a free show, you guys.
Because he didn't, you know, because of the quick list. The quickness with which this was put together.
I see.
It's a free thing. There will be a tip jar out.
Yeah. And donations are appreciated.
Yeah,
because
so,
it does cost money to do these.
So this Friday at the Phoenix Theater,
yeah,
you can go see this Turkish nonsense and watch Calvin do verbal subtitles for a weird ripoff show. And then you should go and buy a drink or two and give that money to the theater. And
Jenna will also be in it.
I will also be in it, yeah.
And Jenna, we don't know what her role is. So
Becky Schmidt is also in it.
There's only three chick roles in any Star Trek.
Yes. Yeah. So
and one of them is Kirk's fuck
it out.
Lady. So.
Yeah, so figure
it out.
Oh, and
John Uecker's in it.
Oh, so quite a few fearless people are in this.
Yeah.
Is TJ in it?
Yes, TJ Cadalus is in it.
Is he really?
Yeah.
No shit.
Yeah.
God damn it.
And, you gotta go.
Dave McKay and Heather McKay, I think, have smaller parts in it.
Oh, wow.
Mm.
There's a lot of good
This is a McKay production.
Yeah, it's
there's a lot of fearless people
it's
involved,
the McKay's
but it is,
little thing.
It's a McKay project.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yep.
And they're fantastic. They are also
fearless people,
which is why you've got a lot of crossover. But, yeah. I love it when people just start doing their own things, you know? I think that's fantastic, so.
Absolutely. Okay, so there's a few things that you should probably put on your calendars right away, and I'll try to get in the show notes.
Yeah.
And we'll be right back after this.
Cool.
That's not the button.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com. And we're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm Jenna.
And I'm... Oh, what the hell? Calvin Hatley.
Yay! He got it. He wins.
Do you know who I am? Because seriously, I forgot.
I don't remember anymore. So, listeners, I remembered a thing that I did that I wanted to talk about.
And so we're going to let her.
So I'm going to do this. Fuck these guys. No, but the thing that I forgot about on Sunday, because it was such an incredible, amazing experience, was Jess's senior photos.
Yay!
We got together with...
You're old.
I'm so old. I'm like, yay, senior pic... Oh, shit. Like, that's just the mental thought process that happens. So, yeah, my daughter's a senior this year, and we did her senior pictures. And, you guys, I started... We did the pictures. We booked Soledad of Amore Photography.
Amore Photography... By the way, you should hire her for everything.
For everything. Number one, we've already got the pictures back. We did this Sunday, and we've already got, like, she sent them yesterday.
Yeah, she has done our family photos the last couple of years.
We got the photos back right away. They're incredible. We're seriously trying to decide which ones we're going to get printed. She sent us the digitals so we can print as many as we want. She was fun and playful and delightful, and was able to like position and adjust in such a smooth, fun manner that it never felt like, now I have to be stiff and do this thing or whatever else.
It's more of a suggestion.
It really is. She's like, and I love that she's like, I want you to be you. You know, she's not trying to like get 80s glamour shots shit here. She's like, you be you. And we'll find the best way to convey you. And that's so fantastic to me. But she also came up with the suggestion of doing Jess's senior pictures at the Guthrie. Which my theater daughter went, yes.
I know, right?
Oh, my God. So, yeah, we got a lot of incredible shots.
Cool.
Some outdoors, some Guthrie, some fun things. But we did that Sunday morning. I had to get up at 9 a.m. to help get my daughter in makeup and make sure that everything was prepped and ready to go for that. Mm-hmm. After spending pretty much the past 30-some hours either partying or sleeping. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to let you guess what I did there. No?
You slept?
Are you talking about us as well?
Yeah.
Because we're not ladies and gentlemen. We're...
dudes.
We're co-hosts. Ladies and gentlemen are the listeners, aren't they?
Oh. Shit. I fucked this up already. Hey, co-hosts, I'm going to let you guys guess what I did there. How did I start
sounds
mine?
Sounds like the same thing you need right now.
You availed oh yourself of the Guthrie's fart cupboard.
Oh, my God.
And after you did that, you had yourself a nice cup of coffee.
Before I did that, I had a nice cup of coffee. Yeah, thank you very much. No, I woke up that morning like 8:30, and I just hit the button on my coffee maker, and I brewed myself a nice cup of True Stone coffee. Because True Stone coffee will get you through pretty much anything. It was to the point where I had made myself some coffee and Jessica kept interrupting me and I was like, shh, mama needs her coffee. Give me 5 minutes.
True Stone made me appreciate light roasts.
Yeah.
I was always a dark roast person and then I tried their light roast. I'm like, oh, I get what this is supposed to be doing now.
An unsolicited recommendation.
Oh my God. Yes. Holy shit. We didn't prep him for shit. Not this at all. Anything.
No.
He's just coming at us with like an actual testimonial here Jesus on Apropos.
Yeah, nothing. No, that is how good True Stone is.
Yeah. Mm.
They got Kelvin to appreciate light roasts.
Mm. Yes. Because they
the
do
Peruvian
them right.
Peruvian whatever.
Oh my God, yes, the Peruvian one. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Mm. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to acquire some True Stone coffee, and you know you want to, you should go to truestonecoffee.com. Enter the promo code.
Apropos,
you motherfucker!
Is the smell of True Stone coffee one that we should add to tobacco smoke?
Oh my god! Oh my god! Oh my god!
A house that smells like pipe tobacco, scotch, and True
yes,
and True Stone coffee.
Yes.
would be a wonderful house.
Oh,
and musty book.
I would probably forget to clean because like the wonderful smells would cover up.
Like, you'd just be in a puddle on the ground like Jenna is right now.
Oh my God, you guys have no idea.
Olfactory overload.
Mm. So promo code Apropos for 10% off of 10% off of your purchase. And you know you want it. They've got all of the roasts. They've got cold press. They've got merchandise, and it's all incredible.
Hey everybody.
I'm part of everybody.
How about a Fast Five?
Fast Five! Yeah.
I know, right? Today's Fast Five comes to us from James Fairburn.
What the shit? Are you fucking kidding? God damn it. Fuck that guy. James, nobody likes that
James
guy.
James writes, Happy Halloweening.
I'm so mad at him right now.
I thought you might appreciate having a Fast Five from me to help soften the terribleness of my absence.
Oh, you fucking fucker. All right.
Well played.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
Well played. Question number one.
Yeah?
Case or bucket?
Huh.
Wow.
I think I know where he's going with this.
Do you?
My inclination is bucket. I have no clue. I'm going to say case.
Where do you think he's going with it, Kelvin?
I am speculating fast food. Bucket would be like KFC chicken.
Right.
Case would be sliders. Probably.
Case is slider, yeah.
I'm going bucket then.
That's my theory.
I was going to go bucket anyway, so I'm just going to stick with
it. It's better
bucket
than anything I've got. Yeah, right? So I'm going to go with bucket.
Yeah. I have a stupid and inexcusable weakness for sliders, and it's my own mental disease.
Once a year.
And that's convergence.
Yep. 4 a.m. or whenever they decide to bring that shit in.
When those slide. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Question number two. shoes or boots?
Huh. There is so many different contexts.
I know, right? I wear boots at Fest, but other than Fest, I always wear shoes.
I'm primarily a shoes person.
So I'm going to go with shoes.
Shoes.
What's sad is that I generally wear boots when I dress up.
I only wear boots if it's like deep snow.
Because
I hate the feel of stuff over my ankles like that. Yeah. It's just like a weird thing I have.
I get that. Chick boots are sexy as fuck all.
Oh, yeah.
Also, yes.
So that's when I would generally wear boots. Mm-hmm. I don't actually wear boots for outside much. The times that I do wear boots for non-sexy purposes would be hiking.
Yes.
So summertime hiking would be when I generally wear boots. For wintertime, fuck it. I'm in a Minnesotan.
So you're going with?
I'm going with shoes.
Shoes? Kelvin, shoes?
Shoes.
All right. Well, shoes. Question number three. Store or closet? I will rewear clothes all the time, so closet.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Same here, but I'm going to go with store.
Okay.
I think it's going to be something like, where do you think you would find such and such article of clothing? my closet's pretty vast.
I actually enjoy shopping for clothes. I don't do it much because I don't have money. But
I fucking love thrifting for tops. But if we're talking pants, fuck that shit. Women's bodies are so fucking difficult to pant.
Yes.
I went thrifting once and I went through 22 pairs of jeans and none of them fit right.
Yeah.
And it's just like, fuck it.
Clothes shopping is the literal worst.
Mm.
It can suck if you're, like, with someone else, I think.
I prefer it with someone else.
I don't know how many times, like, I really need a shirt or something, and I go, and I, like, cannot find any shirts that I like, and I wind up getting some boring plain-colored shirt or something, and, like,
I wear Duluth Trading Company pants,
mm-hmm.
and if I need a new pair, I know exactly what size I need, and I just order them online.
Cool.
And half of the shirts I own, I got from events that I was part of.
Yeah.
Right.
And the other half of the shirts that I own are shirts that my wife picked up at Goodwill because they were nerdy.
Yeah.
Two of them are merchandise shirts.
That is the extent of, like, I don't shop. For clothes. Yeah, if I need something to wear, it's in my closet.
I've always wanted to have a sartorial style of some kind, but I've never been able to figure out what it is exactly.
Right. The problem is that I go through lots of different styles. Like right now, I'm kind of stuck in a 70s with my palazzo pants and my long turtleneck tunic-y type things.
Right now, I'm just like, but, I don't care right now. But,
no, that's fair. I'm also a big fan of the casual 90s approach. Mm-hmm. Little bit of grunge here and there.
I would love to have an early 60s era suit and tie.
And I also have some vintage, some 50s style shit with the poofy skirts and whatever. Like, I got some of that.
The one exception for me is hats.
Yeah.
I suppose there's that. I like hats.
I want so bad to find a hat for me. My head is so round that I think hats look weird on me. And like pretty much the only hats I can ever find that fit are baseball caps, which are just kind of boringish.
Right.
And I think, again, because my head is so round, they wind up looking kind of weird and small on me.
I want to see you in a bowler.
I was just about to say, have you ever tried a bowler?
I've not tried a bowler.
Try it.
Try a bowler.
Is there a bowler shop around?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, Salsa's going to hook you up with this. You have just now found your own personal hat shopper. Well done, Kelvin.
So looking at your shoulders, I think a bowl. I think a bowl.
I tried wearing a pork pie for a while.
No, pork pie's not quite the right.
Yeah, and I got, well, like...
Pork pie fits me pretty good. I'm tall and skinny.
Like one of those... Ska type pork pies. I don't know
how. No.
And some people were like, basically I had women just go right up to me and get in my face, like, take that hat off. So I was like, okay, that's not working.
Yeah, no.
But then you can wear it and be like, ladies, do you want to see me get instantly sexier? And then you take the hat off.
Well, I mean, as a super bald guy, hats are a necessity just for sun.
Right.
Absolutely. What you want to do, I honestly would recommend you go to a couple places, Jaime's. Haberdashery in St. Paul.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to pay a little bit more for their hats, but those guys know their shit.
Mm-hmm.
And they will be able to... This is the thing, is knowing your height and the width of your shoulders, they can actually say this kind of hat will look good on your body type.
Mm-hmm.
Because you want the brim of the hat to be about half of your shoulder width.
Oh.
So people with very broad shoulders look better in very broad brimmed hats, like a full fedora or a Panama hat.
I never thought of myself.
Whereas people with skinnier shoulders, like I have skinnier shoulders, so a trilby or a pork pie look better on me. But the thing with like a bowler is if you're very skinny and very tall, the bowler can add a lot of height to you, and so you just kind of get stretched out a little bit. And when I was a lot skinnier, bowler just looked awful on me because I basically looked like a much bigger stick, which is why Bud Abbott looks so good in a bowler is because he is squatter. It's a rounder shape, and so the bowler.
You mean Lou Costello?
Abbott was the tall guy, and
Costello's the short guy.
Okay, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, okay.
I had that backwards.
All right.
Which is why Costello looks so good in a bowler is because he's shorter and rounder. You know, his body shape fits the hat.
Yeah.
Whereas I had a bowler for a long time, and they went, and so they took the pork pie and it chopped off 3 inches, and I went, yes, perfect. They'll be able to take your body shape and kind of go, these styles of hats work best. And the other place would be Gourin, Goorin. There's a shop in Uptown, just by Blocky, not Blocky. What's it called?
The
BLB, Calhoun Square.
Calhoun Square, yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Right by Calhoun Square, there's a shop. Check them out. They know
what they're doing. Okay, I should maybe do that.
You would look good in a driving cap. You would look really good in a driving cap.
What do you call those tweed cats that
come together
at the front?
Yeah.
Cabby cat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've thought of that. Some.
Yeah.
Not the golf ones that are puffy on the sides, but the slimmer ones.
Yeah.
You would look really good in one of those, I think.
Cool.
Next week on Hat Shopping with Salsa.
I know, really.
Cooking with Salsa, hats with Salsa.
I enjoy hats. I'm sorry.
I need hats.
Question number four.
Yeah.
Home or drive?
Home.
Like, one's a noun and one's a verb, so I'm... Home or home? Personally, I would much rather stay at home.
Yeah, I'm not big on driving.
I'm kind of torn. It really kind of depends on what we're talking about.
And this is like hard drive or homepage.
Ooh, probably not.
No.
I'm gonna say drive.
Okay. Question number five: Donnie or Jeffrey?
Boy, you're out of your element, Donnie.
Donnie.
Okay.
Donnie or Jeffrey. Jeffrey.
Wow.
No fucking clue where this is going.
All I can think of is like Donnie Osmond.
Donnie Darko? Jeffrey Chaucer?
Dahmer?
Jeffrey
Dahmer.
Donnie Dahmer? His lesser-known cousin.
I'm gonna go with Donnie.
Gee whiz, I'm so lost here. I
think that was
the
goal.
Point. Yep.
Yeah.
I'll say Jeffrey. Just
okay. Thing. All right, here we go. Context.
I didn't pick yet.
Oh, sorry. I thought you had.
No, I said you're out of your element. Donnie is a hopeful for context, but it really doesn't work with Jeffrey. So I'm still gonna go Donnie.
Okay. All right. I completely didn't tell everybody how this works, but they know, so. Here we go with the context. James writes, hello again. It's thrilling for me to be able to participate in these Jesus again.
Christ.
You've probably already guessed, but here they are. We haven't. Fuck you. Oh my god! Question number one. Case or bucket? Pillowcase or pumpkin bucket? Which was your weapon of choice for trick-or-treating?
Oh my god!
Wow! Oh god! I was way off.
Pillowcase.
I grew up on a farm. We used a literal bucket.
Yeah, I had a pumpkin bucket. I had a plastic pumpkin.
So when I was in college, the year that I did that before I dropped out because I was knocked up and had a kid, there was one night where my college dorm mate and I kind of looked at each other and we're like, well, it's Halloween. We don't particularly feel like partying. Are we going to be those lame college kids that are just like in the dorm studying? And I'm like, fuck that bullshit. Grab your pillowcase. And she was like, what? I'm like, you're coming with me. And she grabbed her pillowcase and we went trick or treating. And people were like, so what are you guys supposed to be? And we're like, we're sober college students. Just around campus. And they gave us so much candy. You have no idea. So yeah, pillowcase. Definitely pillowcase.
I do want to mention one thing that I read today that I completely agree with. And it was, you know, all those like 16, 17, 18 year old people walking around trick or treating?
Yeah.
Don't give them shit for that.
I disagree entirely.
That's literally because that's the only trick or treaters that
they
ever
could be out TPing houses and shit like that.
Yeah.
Instead, they're trying to have some fun.
Oh, don't
give them
you
shit
meant
for
don't
that.
Give them shit for it as opposed to don't give them shit. Like, don't give them treats.
No.
Yeah.
Give them treats. Don't give them shit. Don't be like, aren't you too old to be trick or treating?
Right,
no,
yes.
Fuck
no,
that.
I agree with that entirely.
Let them fucking have their fun.
Because otherwise
they're going to be out toilet papering houses and shit like that. Make them work for it. Don't let them stand there and go, no, you fucking say trick or treat, motherfucker. You know how this works.
You have had 17 years to figure this shit out. Get on it.
Yeah, see, the only trick-or-treaters I've ever gotten in my house, and I get very few. I've only gotten, like, I think, three over the past 5 years.
Hmm.
It's all teenage kids, no costumes, old Target bag, and they just kind of go, ugh.
Yeah, if you go, no, you're not.
Yeah,
you
and I'm like, and I just
say was, the fucking words,
and it was depressing, and I just... Like, so I usually am not in the house.
Say the words.
Halloween, though.
Say the words. Look,
say it.
Because I completely...
Say it.
If I'm 30...
Something.
Five?
Five-ish, I think. I believe you're 35. You might be 36.
Anyway, if I could still go trick-or-treating, I would.
Yeah.
I honestly would. And at this point, I... By the way, I went trick-or-treating with my kids today.
Yeah.
It's the first time I've gone trick-or-treating with my kids.
Yeah.
Because every fucking year up until this point, I have had a gig on Halloween.
Yeah.
And so I have not gone trick-or-treating with my kids.
Yeah.
I went trick-or-treating with my kids today, and it was the best goddamn thing.
Oh, I bet.
Nope. I disagree. Going trick-or-treating with Jessa, I hate it. It's cold. It's freezing.
It's not that cold. I love the cold, so it's not that cold.
Yeah. I'm skin and bones. But I did used to, back when we lived in the same neighborhood, Chrissy and I would go trick-or-treating with the kids collectively.
Mm-hmm.
So we'd get, their kids and then mine, and we'd wander around the same neighborhood space, and Chrissy and I would have our water bottles not filled with water.
No, yeah.
And, it was usually vodka lemonade, for me. But yeah, that made it tolerable. But otherwise, I was just freezing my ass off. And like, I would just stand there waiting for my kid to go collect her shit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, ugh, son of a bitch.
I mean, at this point, my kids are 2 and 4, so it's a lot cuter.
There is that.
Oh, by the way.
I think Jessa stopped when she was like 13, 14.
What did they go as?
My kids went as the PJ Masks. Which is something that you are furrowing your brows at.
Yeah, I have to admit, I don't know what this is.
But, however, amongst the children, the 2 to 4 demographic, this is hot shit. Like, all we did is we went up the block and down the other side, and we had 4 or 5 groups pass us and go, oh, it's such a PJ Masks, it's so good. They went apeshit over this.
This is the PJ Masks are today's Smurfs. These are basically it's these three kids that have these pajamas. I haven't watched the show, so I'm kind of filling in blanks. But they have these pajamas, and when they put the masks on the pajamas over their heads, they gain superpowers.
Oh, interesting.
Pajamas. PJ Masks. Okay, yeah.
I was thinking it was like a guy's name.
Yeah,
I'm PJ Masks.
No, it's and so the pajama masks basically, and they it basically like the owlet has the power of flight, and Catboy can run really fast, and Gecko can like climb on walls and shit like that. Mm. And our kids are fucking like gibber about this show. Mm-hmm. and our mother-in-law surprised us with these costumes. Aww. That she had gotten, and our kids went fucking crazy. But yeah, they were so cute and running around and Asher not quite understanding exactly what the fuck is going on, but all he knows is if he goes up to a door and says trick or treat, people give him candy. And he's wearing mittens, and so he's struggling. Like he's trying to carry with both handles in one hand when walking from point A to point B. Mm-hmm. Because he needs his other hand to like hold rails and shit like that. And then when he gets there, he like in his mittened hands is like, I have to separate these two handles. That way I can hold the bag open and say trick or treat, and people put candy in the bag, and then I put them back in one hand,
It was a process.
It was an absolute process.
He was super helpful handing out treats earlier tonight, though. Yes. Oh, my God. I came in the door, and he just handed me candy, and I was like, fuck yes.
So, yeah, no, absolutely. I don't even know where I was talking about. Like I said, I grew up, we had a bucket.
Yeah.
A literal fucking bucket. So yeah. I'm going with bucket.
Cool.
Question number two, shoes or boots? In the Halloween blizzards of the past, did you wear the correct shoes for your costume or opt for winter boots?
My costumes have always had a winter boot option.
Ooh, very smart.
I am so old that when the Halloween blizzard of 91 happened, I had like full-time job and stuff.
I was explaining the...
So when you were a kid, there were blizzards when you were a kid, though.
Yeah, but not never on Halloween.
Mm. Oh, okay.
I mean, we had cold nights where like, you know, Mom insisted I wear a parka over my costume, which made me mad because then no one could tell what the hell I was.
Yeah, no, you make a costume so you can wear the parka under that shit.
Yeah, if you buy a costume, you buy two sizes bigger so a coat fits under it.
Yeah.
That's the way it is.
Yeah. So I work for an international company. And the majority of my team is in like Connecticut.
Mm.
And there's like a power outage happening for like a large chunk of that one of the cities there.
Mm-hmm.
And they were complaining about this, and I'm like, well, so it's been like what, a few hours? They're like, no, we're on day two. And I'm like, that shit doesn't happen in Minnesota. Because if
they
it
have generators?
Does, we freeze. Mm-hmm. Like, and we got to talking about. You know, they're like, well, how early do you guys get snow there? And one of the other ladies that is from Minnesota, although not directly a part of my team, was like, well, there was the blizzard of 91. And we just started reminiscing about 2 feet of snow and trick-or-treating. And I'm like, yeah, my mom brought me to the mall. And we went trick-or-treating in the mall.
My
that was fantastic.
My memory of the blizzard of 91 was like, I was working for a company that was going out of business.
Oh.
And Halloween was, like, supposedly the last day of my employment.
Oh, God.
But there was a thing where, like, you would not get any severance if you had to attend, like, all the... You couldn't take any days off.
Oh, son bitch. Okay.
You know, or you would forfeit your severance. So I figured, like, I gotta fucking go into work in this somehow.
Oh, right. Jesus Christ.
And it took me, like, 3 hours to get to work.
Fuck that.
But and they were like, oh yeah, no, Calvin, it's a, you know, like they were like, you know, you didn't really have to come in. We kind of understand that this is an exceptional situation or something. But I was like, I was totally panicked. Like, I'm going to lose $2,000 fucking dollars if I don't go into work.
Right.
Now.
I get it.
Yeah.
Plus, you got whatever your pay was there, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Cool.
I wore boots as a kid. Cowboy boots.
Ah.
That's just what I wore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
Question number three. Store or closet? When dressing for a friend's party, are you more likely to buy pieces or materials or just use a costume like your garb that you already have? I will never wear fest garb as a Halloween costume because that's not a costume, that's clothing.
That's a uniform, motherfucker.
Exactly. But I also will more than likely find something that I already have in my closet. Tonight I grabbed the lab coat that I have laying around here for brewing beer and mussed up my hair and grabbed some goggles and gloves and went as a mad scientist.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm not going to buy something that I wear one night.
I prefer to come up with something of my own, although I have no seamstressy skills or anything. I mean, I will buy, like, dumb Halloween makeup kits or something.
Right.
And kind of bash something together, but...
If I'm doing it for a show,
yeah,
then I will absolutely buy a costume or something like that because I'm getting paid for that shit.
Right.
For Halloween, no.
No.
Well, for the Halloween party I went to Saturday night, it was Seth and Laurie Sweep's sexy Halloween party. And the idea is you're supposed to dress as like a really stupid thing to be a sexy version of.
Yes.
I was sexy Charlie Brown.
Yes.
I had a Charlie Brown shirt, and I wore that and popped the collar and wore like a necklace and sunglasses with it.
Oh my God! Yes, that's fantastic.
So
I did that party several years ago with Bill.
Mm-hmm.
We wore cute couples sexy costume. I was a sexy aborted fetus, and he was my sexy placenta.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
I could never go back after that.
Wow, yeah, that would stick.
Where are you going to go from there?
Right. Yeah. We walked into that room, and even everybody that, like, even Vilifier was like, ooh, the hanger may have been a bit much, yo. Like,
oh, God.
Yeah, no, my costume was a garbage bag.
Like, was it?
Yep, and a hanger on my head. I had a bald cap, too.
Was it Molly that went as a sexy slice of pizza?
Molly went as a sexy slice of pizza.
Yeah, Molly was a sexy slice of pizza.
She had tassels on her pepperonis.
A couple pepperonis on the front had tassels on them. That was the best.
And that got turned into a gif, by the way.
Yeah,
it was so good. Or a hif.
There was some guy, I don't know his name, but he was a sexy tardigrade.
Oh my God, yes. Yes!
I don't... Hell of a costume.
Mm-hmm. Question number four. Home or drive? Who has better candy, the neighbors or distant suburbs? I've only ever done local, so I've never done anything.
Now,
to be fair, when I was growing up in the farm in South Dakota, our neighbors were the closest one was a mile away. The second closest one was a mile and a half. We did the circuit to five different farms, and we traveled 10 miles. So I don't know if that means drive or.
I think in your case that's neighborhood.
That's neighborhood.
I think that is neighborhood in your case.
It really depended on where
I lived, because I just lived in so many different neighborhoods growing up. Like one of my neighborhoods, there was just nothing there. Mm-hmm. Like nobody had lights on, nothing like that. So we would always go like to the mall or somewhere else to go trick or treating. Mall, by the way, was a great place to trick or treat.
Is it?
It's inside.
So you can wear shoes, not boots.
Yeah, you can wear the appropriate foot apparel for your costume. But also, nobody thinks to trick-or-treat there, but a lot of the stores actually have candy for trick-or-treaters. So they just give you candy.
Oh, cool.
Like, just fistfuls of candy. So
nobody's shopping, so...
So I guess I'm going to say drive.
Okay.
But that's trick-or-treating in Uptown was a really good experience too, so.
Raider Lee and I were having this conversation tonight as we were walking our kids up and down the block. And we literally just went up and down the block.
Right.
That's up one side, down the other, done.
Your kids are young enough.
Exactly. They're young enough. Yeah. That, I mean, that's a pretty good walk, you know, at their age. And they had a pretty good haul after that.
Right.
And we looked around and we went, our neighborhood, when the kids are older and old enough to do this on their own, they are going to rake it in.
Yeah. Yeah, they are.
They're going to come home with a fucking pillowcase full of candy.
Not a bucket.
Not a fucking bucket, a pillowcase. Because our neighborhood is, it's a very residential neighborhood and fairly affluent in many cases.
That is another thing. Growing up, some of my neighborhoods, you just didn't go out after night.
Yeah.
Like, you just, you went elsewhere because nobody was trick-or-treating down the streets.
It's a safe neighborhood.
Yeah.
It's, because we are in a location that the property prices are a lot higher, we do have more slightly affluent people. And so instead
people.
I've been drinking.
I like people.
I'm a people person.
You know, there was more than one house that were given away full-size candy bars.
Those are the heroes.
And we, you know, our kids walked, like I said, they came back with a pretty good haul just going up one street.
Yeah.
When they're older and they're able to do 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 blocks,
they're going to share with Auntie Jenna.
Yes.
Excellent.
You can come over to our house on Halloween, help us hand out candy to the other kids.
Yeah, if some house was giving out full-size Snickers, that word got around fast. Yeah.
And then you can demand a tithe.
I already helped hand out Halloween candy. Well,
then you can demand a tithe.
Excellent. I'm going to steal your Skittles, bitch. Yeah.
One of the houses was giving away little bags instead of candy, they were giving out the little fun size bags of Cheetos.
Yeah. Ow.
And another house was giving away, you could get one little candy bar and one toy. And they had like the little dollar toys.
Oh, that's adorable. Things
like that. And like I said, other houses had the full size candy bars, and some of them, it was just,
There was a dentist in my neighborhood always gave out toothbrushes.
Everybody avoided that house like the fucking plague.
Or sometimes he'd give out apples, but you know.
See, growing up, most of the time we would do just the local farming neighbors, but every so often we would do my grandmother's neighborhood.
Okay.
And there you would get the popcorn balls.
Oh.
And you would get some of the caramel apples.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. And then we would stumble upon a teacher's house. And it would be just the weirdest thing, because he was somebody that we knew only as an authority figure in school, and they were dressed up in a costume and giving us candy, and it was like, I don't know how to feel about this. So I think we've all decided on home.
Yeah, home.
Right. I went drive, actually.
Oh, okay. Question number 5. I was kind of halfway there on this one.
You're halfway there.
Which is the better low-key costume? Donnie Darko or Jeffrey Lebowski?
Oh, Lebowski.
Lebowski.
Lebowski, straight up.
You know why? Because booze.
I went as Jeffrey Lebowski to a Halloween party one year, and I wore a robe, which was super comfortable,
right?
And I drank White Russians all night,
yep.
And I got so fucking drunk,
yeah,
drinking White Russians all night.
Right. It's not a weak drink.
No, it's not. And halfway home, I had my wife pull over, and I threw up out the passenger door. Because I was it is the most drunk she has ever seen me in our entire time together, was that Halloween where I was Jeffrey Lebowski and drank nothing but
You gotta commit to the bit.
I was so far gone.
Yeah, no, Jeffrey Lebowski is a pretty easy costume to do.
I haven't seen Donnie Darko, so I don't know.
I don't know either.
If I remember right, he wore like...
didn't he just wear kind of like goth clothes? Or
no, he wasn't a goth.
You have
goth.
A computer? Look this shit up.
I think if I remember right, he just kind of wore like a... like a skeleton shirt, you know, with like the rib cage, and then like a an old denim shirt over that or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, it was just like a black shirt and a... He wore clothes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless he was wearing... No, wait. Does he ever... I can't remember if he ever dresses up in the bunny costume or not. It's been a while.
No, the bunny is a completely separate entity, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Anyway,
Lebowski.
Yeah.
All right.
You know why? Because booze.
Because white Russians.
Yeah.
Booze. He signs off, have all the spookiest times, James.
Aww.
And James will... we'll find out if he comes back ever again.
We may have scared him off.
Our permanent replacement, Kelvin, here...
is we'll leaving after this episode. Don't even pretend like that's a thing.
And by permanent, I mean this one.
He has made it through this episode.
I made my
He has already got his coat on. He's ready to get the fuck out of here. All right.
I keep playing with your tack hammer.
That's the hammer I was pounding nails into my nose with earlier.
Oh, okay.
Just remembering how to do that shit?
Yeah, just making sure I'm trying to explain to Matt how to do it, and I wanted to make sure I was explaining to it correctly.
Just tell him to hit this all makes the face sense. Of the hammer. I got it. So there is something I wanted to talk about and plug as we get out of
plug
here.
Plug it!
Give to the Max.
Woo! Yes,
bitches,
give to the Max
We are all a part of this. Fearless Comedy Productions is a nonprofit, and as a nonprofit, we are able to participate in Give to the Max Day, which is November 16th. However, leading up to the 16th, we can start to accept your donations now. I mean, I assume this episode is going out like...
tonight.
But super late tonight.
Yeah, like midnight.
Like basically, okay, so November 1st, we can start accepting your donations. And you want to donate beforehand for a couple of different reasons. Number one, you donate ahead of time... we get a certain amount of donations in a day, and we get like golden tickets, which are basically like
bonuses, yeah,
possibilities for matching grants, things like that. Also, we have a couple of teams set up for bonus things that you can get for donating. So you donate to that team, and if
you
that
should
team,
donate to Team Casimir, by the
that's
way,
that's adorable. If you get if each team gets their goal, there will be a certain extra thing that happens, and that is listed on each team's page.
And you should donate to Team Casimir, because we're going to make Matt do something.
Which, I mean, I am delighted by that, and you should donate to Team Casimir. However, you should also donate to Team Sexy, which is my team, which is supporting a burlesque actress by the name of Bitta Honey, who will be performing at the Fearless event on the 16th. There will be a fundraiser, a vaudeville-based fundraiser, and Bitta Honey will be performing burlesque there. And if my team raises our goal of $500, pussy, what? You're only doing like $250, right?
I don't know.
You Jesus fuck. All right. Anyway. So if we reach our goal of $500, there will be a chorus line dancing with Bitta Honey, built of, Teen Sexy members and possibly some other Fearless members. And you want to see that. Trust me. You really want to see that. So, Give to the Max. I think both Salsa and I will post our teams in the, AON page just to make it easier for people.
I mean, I might not bother with Team Sexy, because who cares? Because Team Casimir is where all your money's coming from.
Look, you swallow swords. Team Sexy's got a burlesque dancer. Salsa, you're adorable. So anyway, yeah.
Again, the stretch goal is going to be us inflicting pain and misery upon Matt.
Yeah, sexy bitches dancing.
Pain and misery on Matt.
I'm not saying that's an unworthy cause.
Hey, calm down, you two. You can have sexy women dancing and pain and misery on man.
You know, it's really weird. This whole thing is going to get edited with all of your volume. I'm sorry. The mixing board hasn't picked up any of your words at all.
Anyway, but please, Give to the Max is a day. Like, donations often count for double. We do have some wonderfully generous sponsors that are doing some matching grants for us. It's really kind of a big deal for donating and fundraising for Fearless. We've got a goal of like $5,000 or $6,000. I don't remember specifically, but we have a few $1,000 goal, and we would love to be able to meet that, to be able to hit Fearless events and keep throwing comedy at your face. So yeah, look for those links. Both Salsa and I will post them tomorrow. And you can pick which one of us you love more. Sucker.
I mean, clearly that's me.
You're adorable. Oh, also, James is a part of a team, like some pie team or something. You might want to donate to his team, too. Eh.
Is he really? God damn it.
Yeah, no, he's part of Team Pie.
I suppose I'll link to his team, too.
Right. We'll add that. Bitch.
Fuck.
Anyway.
He's not even here.
I know.
Anyway. The important thing is, Give to the Max, all of this money eventually goes to Fearless Comedy Productions, and Fearless Comedy Productions makes things that are funny happen. Things like Are What the Improv, that Calvin is going to be performing in just a few days here.
No, Are What the Improv is the one that happens at the end of the month.
I can't keep these shits.
I know.
It'll be the end of next month, and in a few days, it's me and Jenna trying to be Turkish.
Trying to be Turkish.
You're trying not to be Turkish. You're trying to get away from the... We're trying to bring a little more Star Trek to this. You're trying to un-Turkish
it. Calvin, is this appropriation? Because now I don't know how I feel about this.
Hey, they appropriated us first.
We are reappropriating their appropriation?
They took Star Trek from us,
and we're taking Star Trek back,
God damn it. I suddenly feel uncomfortable. Anyway, but yeah, come see it. Come see me be uncomfortable. Friday, 10:30 at the Phoenix for Turkish Star Trek, featuring Calvin Hatley, and I'll be there too.
Yep.
And I won't, so it's a win-win-win.
Excellent.
Ladies and gentlemen, there's a whole lot to parse there, so good luck. I will.
Does James actually keep us on track sometimes?
God, no.
Okay, good.
Ladies and gentlemen, confused. Eat the fucking cake.
Night.
Yep, eat the cake.
Take it away, Salsa.
Verbal Jazz Fingers.
Verbal Jazz Fingers is the name of my new Led Zeppelin cover band.